Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.wordpress.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to part two of this episode, which is basically a conversation with my friend Paul Taylor from England. In this episode, we talk about Paul's experiences of living in different countries. We talk a little bit about Christmas in various places, and we talk in lots of really stupid accents. It's good. Since we're talking about different countries, let's talk a little bit about your Christmas this year. You're spending Christmas in France, are you?
I am. Yeah, I'm hanging out in France for Christmas and New Year.
Yeah.
My mum is coming over to visit. Tomorrow, she's staying for a week, which is cool. It'll be the first time in a couple of years that she's been over, because she's had some health problems. So I've had to go. I went back to the UK for the last couple of years for Christmas. So I'm spending it here.
So what are the plans? Are you cooking?
I am cooking. So we're going to my girlfriend's grandmother's place.
Yeah.
So she has. Her grandmother, the only family member that she has left is her grandmother.
Yeah.
So we're going to her grandmother's and I'm going to cook for the four of us. Now, it might be a bit weird because my mum doesn't speak French.
Yeah.
And her grandmother doesn't speak English.
Yeah. Is this the first time that they've met?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So my girlfriend's French. So her grandmother's French and she doesn't speak English. So yes. we'll have to play translators. I don't know how it's going to work. I've never really been in a situation like that, so it'll be fun to see how that works.
I'm in a similar situation this year.
Oh yeah,
because we're spending Christmas here in the apartment in Paris, and my girlfriend is French, and we've invited her parents here, and also we've invited my parents here.
Amazing.
Too, and they've never met each other.
Okay,
so we are not only hosting Christmas, we're also uniting our parents for the first time, so it's like a double whammy.
You know what we should, you remember do you ever see the film Meet the Parents or Meet the Fockers or whatever the film was called?
Robert De Niro.
Yeah,
the first one's Meet the Parents.
Yeah,
so Robert De Niro, Ben Stiller.
That feels like this could be like the Anglo-French version of this, of Meet the Parents in a different language.
Yeah,
and that could be a good film.
My parents don't really speak French. My girlfriend's parents don't really speak English. My girlfriend speaks both languages pretty well.
Yeah.
Obviously, she speaks French perfectly, and her English is good. I speak English, of course, because I'm Luke from Luke's English Podcast.
But it's debatable, though.
My French is woefully inadequate.
Right.
It's poor.
I've
met her parents lots of times.
And she's met your parents?
She's met my parents lots of times.
Okay, but they just haven't met each other?
They have never met each other. So we're now...
Same situation.
We're now wondering what's going to happen. And we're also worrying about everything. Well, not that much. But we're worrying about like cooking the food properly and getting a decent meal.
It's difficult.
And also managing to get my parents and her parents.
Are you doing it on the 24th or the 25th?
25th.
Because traditionally in France, I believe the big dinner is on the 24th.
Really?
And the 25th, they still do something, but it seems... less important than it is. Like for us in the UK, the big days are the 25th and 26th, right? Christmas Day, Boxing Day is when you have the family and you have the dinners and all that kind of stuff. I think you probably do the 25th in one family, and then you go to the other family, the other person's family on the 26th. Whereas in France, it's the 24th and 25th,
right?
And they don't have Boxing Day here.
Okay,
They don't like fighting, apparently.
No, Boxing Day That's a common question. Why is it called Boxing Day?
It's a good day. No, you throw away the boxes from Christmas. That's really? When the bin men... So when you open all your presents at Christmas, you're left with a lot of cardboard boxes that you put out on the street on the 25th because it's Christmas Day. Yeah. And actually they come and collect it on the 26th. So that's why it's called Boxing Day.
Yeah. All right. But wouldn't that be... Did you just make that up?
I totally just made that. I have no idea why it's called Boxing Day.
I've heard lots of theories. And I'm sure I've been through it before on the podcast. Boxing Day. Yeah, either it's when things are put in boxes or when, like, you're going to check that out online.
I might check it out online.
I can tell you, Paul, you're not going to get a satisfactory answer.
Is it going to be one of those long Wikipedia articles?
It's going to be one of those ones where there's lots of different theories, but nobody really knows. One theory is that this is when factories or owners of businesses would give gifts to their employees. The employees would come back to work at the factories and they would be given gifts in boxes, right? Boxing Day. The other one is that... you put things into boxes.
So the first phrase from Wikipedia: Boxing Day is traditionally the day following Christmas Day when servants and tradesmen would receive gifts from their bosses or employers, known as Christmas Box. Today, Boxing Day is better known as a bank or public holiday, blah blah blah.
Alright.
Yeah, so you were right. It's right. Not about throwing away your boxes, but it seems like it's a Commonwealth thing. So they do observe it in Canada as well, in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and Hong Kong, as well as some other Commonwealth regions. So I guess it's an old empire thing, which they don't do in France or anywhere else that I know of.
Well, it's good for us because we get a day off on Boxing Day. So it basically is. On Christmas Day you can drink as much as you like, you can eat as much turkey as you want. And you can just eat and drink yourself into some kind of slumber. And then you can just do it all again the next day. So that's what I'm going to be doing this Christmas anyway.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Well, anyway, certainly the 25th we'll be entertaining the parents.
And Santa, with the bells.
That's right, Santa's going to come. And then on the 26th, just day off. All right. Does Santa arrives in France, doesn't he? He does.
I think so. Yeah, they call him. Yeah, they call him Father Christmas, Le Père Noël, which is I guess what we know him as. It's interesting because I found out somebody was asking me. It was in the US. I was in the US last week and they didn't know what Father Christmas was. They don't call him Father Christmas. They call him Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
And I found out where the origins of the whole thing came from.
Yeah.
It was a mixture between the UK tradition and Dutch tradition.
Yeah.
Where Santa Claus is... The name in Dutch is Sinterklaas.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very similar. So it's one word. And traditionally in Europe...
Mm.
Or not in Europe, but at least in England and I think in the US, because they made a film about it. Santa has elves that help him, like, make the toys and deliver the toys and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I found out in Netherlands.
Yes.
He doesn't have elves to help him.
Right.
He has a slave.
Really?
And the slave is called Black Pete.
Oh, God.
And he has a black face.
Really?
And he's called Black Pete.
So Santa's a slave master?
Basically, yeah. And the reason why Black Pete is black
is
because he's the one that Santa sends down the chimney to give the presents or to leave the presents under the tree. So he's actually a white guy who has a black face.
Okay.
So it's pretty racist. And they're trying to get rid of it, I think.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Goodness me.
But I was there a couple of weeks ago and they have... It, like, his face in all the windows. Like, they have Santa, white beard, everything that you know from Father Christmas or Santa Claus, and next to him...
Black Peter.
Black Pete, yeah.
Black Pete, okay.
Schwarze Pete, or I don't know how exactly you pronounce it, but Black Pete, yeah. If you look up Black Pete, you'll find the article and various racist things about him.
Okay. I was going to ask you, Paul, actually... changing the subject slightly, I mean, the fact that you've lived in different countries like France and Spain, you speak these languages fluently, don't you? I mean, you speak fluent French and fluent Spanish, is that right?
Yeah, French I speak, I would say, close to a bilingual level. Yeah. So I speak French fluently.
Yeah.
And when I speak French, I have mostly like a kind of a French accent.
Yeah.
It takes a while for people to realize that I'm not French, which is very fortunate.
Yeah.
I think it's obviously due to the ear picking it up when I was younger.
Yeah.
And so that kind of stayed with me. But as I said before, I did have a Canadian French accent at some stage because I spent some time there, and just I guess it just kind of seeped through. And when my girlfriend and I first met in London, she thought I was Canadian.
Right.
And because she's from Paris and I've lived here for 4 years now, my French has come back to a kind of French accent. My Spanish is, I guess it's still fluent because I guess the definition or that I read of fluency in a language is being able to speak a language without trouble or without having to search for words or things like that. I have to do that in English though, kind of weird. But yeah, I'd say I speak fluent Spanish. My accent isn't as good though.
Yeah.
So people can tell straight away that I'm not.
Right.
Spanish.
Do you have favourite expressions in French or Spanish?
Yeah, I have two expressions which are very similar in French and Spanish, which the equivalent in English is, it pisses me off.
Right.
Which is a strange expression.
What does that mean?
It means that it makes me angry.
Right.
Basically. So in English, for some reason, we say, it pisses me off.
Really pisses me off when people bump into me on the metro.
Exactly.
It just really pisses me off.
Yeah.
And in Spanish and French?
So in French, they don't use piss, they use shit.
Okay.
And
it
so
shits me off?
No, it makes me shit is the French one. So ça me fait chier, it makes me shit.
Yeah, something can make you shit?
Something can make you shit.
Does that happen? How does it do that?
I don't know. People in France have this issue where things and people and groups of things make them shit.
That must be very inconvenient.
I think that's why there's so much shit in Paris. That's
all over the street.
All over the street, yeah.
Because people keep making each other shit everywhere.
Exactly.
That's terrible.
It is terrible. So in Spanish, the equivalent is... In Spanish, it's me cago en la leche, which means I shit in the milk.
Oh, don't do that.
Which is their way of saying, oh, bollocks, or oh, shit, or like, oh, shit in the milk.
Shit in the milk. Yeah. Right into the milk.
Right into the milk.
See, the thing is, if you did do that...
Yeah,
it wouldn't be immediately clear that someone had done it.
No, your tea would taste rather disgusting.
Oh.
Your tea, that would really annoy me as an English person. Oh. It would piss me off that they shit in my milk.
Yeah.
And it would subsequently make me shit. Yeah. So that kind of combines all three of those together.
It would piss you off that they shat in your milk, and then that would make you shit. But it would, you know, if this is this has become very disgusting, but I'm going to say it anyway. If someone shat in your milk, then it would make you shit because you would get diarrhea, I'd imagine, as a result.
I've never ingested excrement another human being.
And
so
I don't plan to start at any point.
Nor do
in the near future.
But
all right.
Yeah, the Spanish like to shit in a lot of things. They have another expression, which is, me cago en tu puta madre. Which is, I shit in your mother, who is a whore.
Whoa!
That's probably, that's one of the hardest things you can say to... But they also, they're very jovial, like the Spanish. Like, they take stuff, and it just, it's not very rude.
So that can be said in a nice way. Hey, Paul, I shit in your mother,
who's a whore. Me cago en tu puta madre, tío. And if you say something is, something can be of the mother who is a whore. So...
Yeah.
In Spanish, it would be, you could say that this beer that I'm currently drinking, es de puta madre.
This is of the mother of a whore?
Of the mother who is a whore.
Oh, right.
Or mother whore, which means it's amazing. It's kind of like in English when you say it's the shit.
Yeah, or the dog's bollocks.
I mean, that's confusing, like, for foreigners who are learning English to say, if something is shit, it's bad.
Yeah.
But if something is the shit,
it's
really good.
Yeah.
It's like saying... that something is bollocks.
Yeah, that's bollocks, mate.
Which is not good.
Yeah.
But if it's the dog's bollocks, it's very good. So
that
for some reason,
dog's bollocks.
Canine testicles are...
Yeah. They are, of all the bollocks, good things. I think, the ones that are owned by a dog are the most superior
I think we can agree. By the way, listeners, and I always say this when swearing comes round, that swear, these are very rude words that you shouldn't just start using all over the place.
You shouldn't, no.
Just because we are introducing you to these expressions on Luke's English Podcast doesn't mean that you should then go to the bank in order to, you know, when you need to get some money from the bank. And you say, okay, Paul, you're the bank manager.
All right.
And I'm a listener to Luke's English Podcast.
Okay.
Come into the bank.
We're in England, right?
We're in England.
Okay.
And I'm next. And so you say...
hold on. Counter number four, please.
And you say, counter number... Oh, that's me. And then you go over and you go, hello.
Hi.
I'd like to withdraw some money, please.
Okay, that's no problem. May I have your bank account detail, please?
Yes, here it is. It's funny, it's actually 12345. It's 12345. And the sort code is 3040.
Great, let me just look up your details. Mr. Thompson?
Yeah.
Fantastic. So how much would you like to withdraw today?
Just £5, please.
£5? That's yeah. Rather not a lot of money, but...
Well, I'm a student, you know, I don't have much money. Just £5.
Okay, yeah. I understand that you might need some beer. I too was a student before I got this great job at this wonderful bank.
I just want a pint.
Just one pint, okay. Fantastic. Well, here's your £5. Is there anything else that you would like?
No, that's fine. In fact, that's the dog's bollocks. Thank you very much and good day. You shouldn't do that, listeners. You should not do that, okay? Don't start throwing around these rude expressions. But, you know, it's still good to know them. You should know that they're X-rated words that you shouldn't just...
They are.
You know, for example, if you're in your English class and your teacher says to you, I don't know, something like, what's the answer to question 18? Taylor, what's the answer?
Bollocks.
Get out. That's probably the response that would happen. Not only get out, but you know, you would need to make an official apology on behalf of I don't know who. You and everyone.
Here's a perfect example of when I did use bollocks recently. I used the word bollocks in public. And this, I feel, is an okay way of using it. So I was at a restaurant, a fancy restaurant, with my girlfriend, and it was our fifth anniversary.
Yeah, lovely romantic occasion.
Beautiful romantic occasion, and quite an expensive meal, because it's 5 years and you have to do that kind of thing. And
sort of candles, romantic music. It's very, very lovely place, gorgeous sort of atmosphere.
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, I don't remember candles, but it was a good meal. Yeah. The bill came at the end, and we agreed beforehand that we would pay for the meal from our joint bank account. So we have a bank account where we both pay into it.
Yeah.
But I was obviously gonna be the man and get my. We have two cards, right? Yeah. The joint account.
So you were like, "Don't worry, darling, I'll pay for this."
Yeah. So the waitress felt that I was being the man and paying for the meal when really we were both paying for it.
Oh, I see.
And so I gave her my card, and because we'd had a few to drink, I was putting in the PIN code wrong.
Right.
I thought it was right. If you put the PIN code in, those of you who don't have PIN codes, you get three chances.
Yes.
You do it once, you do it twice, and it says last try. Yeah. And I put it in again the third time wrong.
Yeah.
And it said, you know, declined, card blocked. And that's when I said, bollocks.
Right. And
she had to get her card out and pay. And I felt...
terrible.
I felt probably the worst I felt all year.
See, I feel like that's an appropriate moment when you can say bollocks.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Not only have I embarrassed myself in front of the staff in this nice restaurant, but I've also made a fool of myself in front of my lovely girlfriend.
Oh, she was loving it. She was having the time of her life, because she was like, yeah, I am paying for this expensive meal. And I'm sure the waitress went home and was like, yeah, I had this lovely couple who the guy couldn't afford to pay for the meal and his card blocked and all this kind of stuff. So That is when you can use the word bollocks.
Yes, okay. Only in special circumstances. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're sort of winding down here, but there's a lot more that we can cover, Paul, because I know for a fact that you are a man of accents. You're someone who's able to do different voices in English.
Mm-hmm.
And well, plenty of other topics that we could go into. I feel like that we may have to just wind things down now. I know that you've got to go. I've got a new computer, which I'm going to unbox. I'm excited. Paul works... You work for Apple, don't you?
I do, yeah.
And so Paul, being the nice guy that he is, agreed to help me to purchase a new computer. This probably means now that I've got a new Apple computer, the expectation will be, oh, well, the production values of Luke's English Podcast are going to become
it's
much, gonna much
be
higher now.
Much amazing. The sound's going to be better. Everything's going to be better. You're going to have a new Flash website. That's the expectation. Are you up for it?
I really don't know. I've got a feeling that the standards are going to be pretty much the same. Who knows? Maybe this new Apple Mac is going to allow me to, you know, really reach for the stars. I expect I've got some listeners out there who I've got... Like some Apple Mac users, some non-Apple Mac users, mm-hmm. some kind of, you know, Windows users, and so on. Now, being a representative of Apple, Paul,
yeah.
Where do you stand on the whole Mac versus Windows question?
It's a good question. I used to be a Windows person all the way up until I was 2020, yeah.
2020 years old.
up until the year 2020. No, so, yeah, I used to use Windows all the time, and my friend, who's a photographer, really wanted me to... I used to kind of make short films and things like that, and I used to use Windows Movie Maker, which was kind of free. And he said to me, you know, you need to get a Mac, and there's a thing called iMovie, and it's amazing, you need to use it. And I was of the opinion at the time that many people are who are against Macs, that, oh, it's rubbish, and it's too expensive, and all this kind of stuff. And I really hated it to start with. I ended up going to one of the Apple stores and sitting in on a workshop that they were delivering on iMovie. And mm-hmm. I kind of went to that same workshop like three times.
Yeah.
And it kind of sold me to get a Mac just for this movie thing. And, so I got my first Mac, I haven't really looked back since. I mean, I think both have got, you know, great things about them, and both have got disadvantages about them. I think it's just it's what you're used to. Do you know what I mean? I think it's similar to changing countries.
Yeah.
Right. You know, if one day somebody was like, oh, you should move to France, you know, you're like, well, yeah, but France this and France that, and it's got disadvantages.
They don't know how to make tea.
They don't know how to make tea. They don't know how to drink beer.
They don't have decent comedy. They don't do good music.
No. But you move there anyway, and you find out that you get used to it. So it's kind of... Mm. I don't know. It's a question of getting used to it, really.
It's a culture, isn't it, really? I mean, there's a culture of Apple products, mm-hmm. a culture of Windows products, and, you know, it's kind of like you tend to associate yourself with one of those cultures. And I bought a Mac back in 2007, and I've been using this old MacBook for, let's see, how many years now? That's 6 years that I've been using this Mac, and I've done all the episodes of Luke's English Podcast have been done on this old black MacBook.
Yeah, it's done well.
And it's serviced me very well, but it's got to the point where this Mac is on its last legs. I mean, the trackpad, you know, did you call it the trackpad?
Yeah, we do call it the trackpad.
The trackpad is now so worn down. It's like, you know... in a castle, like a medieval church, you know, the first...
Like the steps.
Yeah, the first step into an old medieval building, the step is worn down, so it's like curved. My trackpad is like that, you know.
Yeah, it's very shiny.
It's extremely shiny, and the battery is just dead, utterly dead.
Mm.
So I have to keep it plugged in at all times. If the power supply gets knocked out, the whole computer just goes, pew, and just dies completely. So... There's also plenty of other issues with it, so it's time to get a new Mac. And Paul brought me one today, and I've got it in a box there. I'm going to open it later. Do you have any tips? Like, what should I do when I unbox it? Should I charge it immediately, or what?
You don't have to. It usually comes with some charge in it. Yeah. There's a myth about batteries and charging, and you know, you need to fully charge it, and essentially the way batteries work is this little, imagine it's a very cold, you're in Russia and it's cold, and you've got a bunch of people, basically you need to keep the people moving in order for them not to die of cold. So the way to it sounds counterintuitive, but the way to make your battery last longer is to use it,
or give it vodka.
One thing, and two is to use it. So fully charge it, fully run it. People think if they plug it in and they keep it plugged in, that's good for it. Mm. But slowly but surely, because the little ions that are inside the battery aren't moving, imagine people in Russia not moving after a while, they die. So that slowly but surely the battery dies. So the more you use it and charge it and decharge it and charge it and decharge it, the more it stays alive. So it sounds counterintuitive, but the more you use the battery, the more it actually lives. So that's my charging tip.
Okay, so I will just use the battery and charge it only when necessary. Mm-hmm. And let's just hope that that everyone in Russia is not too cold.
Yeah,
and that they've got plenty of vodka.
Bullshit! I don't believe. Give me the vodka.
Yeah, there you go. That's your Russian.
Well, this you can't see it right now, but the microphone that we are using to record this podcast kind of looks like a little Russian man because it has a furry hat on the top to protect wind, even because it's so windy in this apartment that we've had to put a wind shield on the top of the microphone. Mm. So it looks a bit like a Russian microphone.
I've added on top, as Paul just said, a kind of what the hell do you got? A muffler. Because a few episodes ago, I did a podcast, and I feel for some reason I should get closer to the microphone for this. A few episodes ago, listeners, I did a podcast called British Slang, H2M. In that episode, I explained a number of different slang terms, including the word kip, to have a kip, to get some kip. And you'll remember that the microphone was a little bit too close to my mouth when I said those things. The result was that basically you got a kind of explosion in your ears when I said the word. I've now bought this muffler in order to prevent that from ever happening again. I'd like to apologise on behalf of Luke's English Podcast for any disturbance which you may have noticed in your headphones whenever I said the word kip or any other plosive sound.
Was that a plosive?
That's exactly it. That was a plosive sound. That shouldn't register now because of the muffler. And it's lovely. It looks like a Russian... What's that?
I don't know what the hat's called.
Oh, I do know.
I don't know what the hat is called. I am from Russia. I have muffler on my ears. I have cold.
Are you sure you're from Russia?
You drink like pussy. I drink like vodka very much.
Okay. Well, now that we've...
That's my bad Russian impression.
Yeah, he sounded almost Scottish there for a second, but that's fine. No, it's actually quite a good Russian accent. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're from Russia, send us your opinion of Paul's Russian accent. It's actually a lot better than mine. I can't do a Russian accent.
I can say, «Привет, меня зовут Пол. Как дела?» That means, «Hello, my name is Paul. How are you?»
Okay, wow. That's the first time that we've ever had Russian on Luke's English
there we
podcast.
Go. That's all. I used to have one of my best friends when I was in Spain. Actually, he was Russian. I lived with a Russian guy, and many of my Russian impressions come from him. Like the
whoops.
It was the time when we started drinking, or I started drinking at like 15.
Yes,
he'd started drinking obviously before. At 9 years old.
Birth.
Yeah, like they don't christen them with water or baptize. I don't even know what the word
holy
is.
Holy water to baptize.
Yeah, they have holy vodka. And anyway, he said to me, I was drinking beer, and he just looked at me and he just went, Paul, you drink like pussy. I drink vodka like you drink beer. And he showed me that he could down like a pint almost of vodka.
Yeah.
He was ridiculous.
That's amazing.
His name was Stanislav. Stanislav.
Yeah. That is quite incredible to be able to drink that much vodka.
Yeah, he was insane.
I think that the Russians should introduce that as an event at the next Olympics.
I would love that. Watch. Is that the shot put? Is that your shot put? Like shots of vodka that you put on the bar?
That's the British event. The shot put. That's where you put a shot on the bar and you drink it. And then you keep going until... you stop having a good time.
I love these Olympics. But these alternative Olympics.
I think the Russians should introduce just vodka drinking as an event at the Winter Olympics, because the Russians could win. I mean, I'm sure there are other nations, you know, Sweden are pretty
sure they get high on the medals table as well, in general, for the other events. If they created that one, it would be amazing.
How would that event take place? What would the vodka drinking event, how would it be done, I wonder?
It's a good question. I think it would involve something like a bobsleigh. But as you're going down the bobsleigh, you have to, kind of like Sonic. Did you ever play Sonic?
Yeah, yeah.
And you collect, there was like a tunnel where you went down and you had to collect the rings.
Yes.
As you were kind of going down the tunnel.
Right.
Well, instead of collecting rings, you collect shots of vodka, or you collect vodka.
Bottles.
And by the end, like, whoever gets the most amount of vodka wins. Yeah.
I was thinking that's good. And like, at the end, that also they would have to measure the blood alcohol level, and they would have to then walk in a straight line to get home. Mm-hmm. They'd have to, after doing the bobsleigh and
to the medals, like, in order to get onto the podium,
yes,
you have to be able to walk onto the podium, and if you're on the first, like, the top bit of the podium and you fall off, you get disqualified, because
you'd also need to be able to sing your own national anthem, all the words included.
Backwards,
yes. No one is going to win this event.
The Russians, I think, would have the Australians would probably have a good chance as well.
Yeah, you reckon? I think the Brits could compete.
Yeah, I think we'd be like third or fourth. Scottish would... I mean, Scotland isn't a country in the Olympics for some reason. We've decided that...
But GB is, isn't it?
Well, Team GB, yeah, but why don't they... In football, when it's the World Cup, it's England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, Ireland.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we do a Team GB.
Yeah.
But we don't do a Team UK. So Great Britain, technically, doesn't include Northern Ireland. Because Great Britain is the name of the big island.
Yeah.
But we call it Team GB, but we have Northern Irish people in Team GB, but it should be called Team UK.
It's all so weird and
it's
confusing.
Ridiculous. It's, I mean, you do a whole comedy bit about it, which is, and I know another comedian who does this thing about when you, on the internet, select from the list of a million countries that come up, when you have to select your country for, like, paying or whatever, you never know what it is, because you look for England, it's not there.
Yeah.
You look for Great Britain, it's not there.
You look for Britain,
it's not there.
Look for the UK.
United Kingdom is usually, I think, what they've...
Or the United Kingdom as well.
It could be under T. It's intense. We have an identity crisis. So yeah, Team GB is really Team UK. But yeah, if we did a Team GB thing, we'd do pretty well, because we'd have the Scottish and the Irish.
Yeah, and the Irish would bring in valuable drinking skills.
Here's a question.
Yes.
Does the Republic of Ireland have an Olympic team, or are they?
I think they do, but I think they can't be bothered. That's a joke. I think that they do. Yeah, I'm sure that Republic of Ireland are involved in the Olympics.
Really?
But wait a minute.
Do they not?
I've never seen someone from the Republic of Ireland in any event. It's just like, so here are the teams for the 100 metres, Jamaica, USA,
Ethiopia,
Jamaica, USA, Jamaica, USA. Where's the Ireland team? They're and
down the pub having a pint of Guinness.
You're now in the pub where the entire Irish Olympic team have spent the entire games. And here's Sean O'Reilly, who is the Irish champion in 100 metre Guinness drinking. This is where they line up 100 metres of pints of Guinness, and they drink them as slowly as they like, and without eating any dinner. No, they eat some sausages and mashed potato, and they don't really worry about competing, and it's great.
We don't care about the Olympics. We'd rather drink a pint of Guinness.
Yeah.
Would you like a pint of Guinness, Pilot?
I'd love a pint of Guinness.
A pint of Guinness?
I'm a little bit worried, right, Paul, when I start doing these accents, because they're not really very... I'm terrible at the...
I've heard you're good at doing the Irish, the Northern Irish.
Northern Irish,
My mother's from Belfast. They can do the Northern Irish.
Let me clarify.
Are we going into accents now?
Yeah, a little bit. Let me clarify.
Have we not overrun by many minutes?
We're now on 1 minute 20, which may have changed if I edit a little bit. But I think it's okay, because if people don't want to listen, they'll just stop listening.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
If they do want to listen, then they just keep on listening.
When, as you've said many times before in your podcast, you can just hit pause.
Yeah.
If you're... in the bus and then you suddenly get home and
Exactly. You can just pause and come back later. I listen to lots and lots of podcasts online, loads of great podcasts like the BBC ones. Sometimes they're an hour and a half long. That's the thing about podcasts. You can pause it and you can continue later on. That's the joy of podcasting. So I think we've got a couple of minutes more. I was going to say that Ireland and Northern Ireland, so, you know, Republic of Ireland.
Different accents.
Yeah, totally different accents. Dublin and Belfast, yeah. Different accents. For some reason, I can't really do a Dublin accent. Sometimes I can do it. You know, sometimes I could do a sort of Dublin accent, you know, like that sort of thing. But then...
It's not too bad.
Yeah, but I can't.
Your head's doing this weird thing as you're doing it.
But then I can't sustain it. I can't keep it going. But Northern Ireland, I can do more convincingly. But I have to swear. I have to use swear words.
You have to swear, okay.
I can't do Northern Ireland accent without including swear words.
All right, give me a typical Northern Irish phrase.
All right there, big man. How are you? How are you doing? Big, what do they say? Bite ye, big man.
What about
you? He's got a square back on him, like...
I've noticed the Northern Irish, they always finish their sentences with this weird thing, so they do.
Aye.
Do you know what I mean?
Aye, it's true, isn't it? Aye.
We were walking down the street, so we were drinking a wee Cronenberg, so we were. And yeah. he was walking next to me, so he was.
Yeah.
They do this weird thing where they add so he was and so he was.
It's a queer thing, so it is.
I don't care. My, arse.
Some words... In Northern Ireland are pronounced in a interesting way, a funny way.
Like what?
Randomly, the word wolf, you know, a wolf,
yeah.
Like, you know, wolf.
Wolf.
Oh, a wolf. Yeah, in Northern Ireland, wolf.
A wolf.
Wolf, like that.
The typical thing is, hi now, brown cow.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've talked about that many
how
times.
Now, how now, brown cow? And in Northern Ireland, hi now, brown cow. Hi, are you nice? Do you want to sit down now, won't you?
How did you get into accents? How are you so good at doing accents? Because I've heard you do a few different accents now.
I don't know. Just, I think it was just...
Because some people are terrible at accents, and people ask me, like, how... For my French accent, like, how did you get so good at doing a French accent?
Yeah.
And, you know, when I tell them that I grew up in France, they're like, oh, that's why. And I'm kind of like, yeah, but no, because my accent changed over time. But I think, I don't know whether it was because I was, my theory for me personally is that I was, what's the word? Subjected to many different accents.
Yes.
Growing up. So my mum has a Northern Irish accent. My dad has a kind of Northern English accent.
Yeah.
I had an American accent as a kid. I was living in France. Like, all this kind of happened. But I know people who've lived in the same place their whole lives and are good at doing accents. So I
moved a bit when I was a kid. You know, I lived in London and lived in the Midlands. So there was, you know, I was exposed to different accents as a child.
Mm.
But I don't know, really. I think it's just that I'm interested in different accents. I lived in Liverpool for 4 years as well. So kind of, you know,
that helps.
Around lots of Scousers. No, I just think it's that I like to listen to different accents. I like the character of different accents too. Maybe it's something to do with being musical. You know, you identify the different sounds. You know, you're more aware of the way different sounds are made. And I've always been... very musical sort of person. I've always been listening to music and stuff and played music, but I don't know. I think it's just enjoying exploring accents and somehow like copying or imitating accents is just a way of expressing the fact that you enjoy you know, the way other accents sound and the way that there's a different sort of, almost a different feeling or different identity that you associate with a different accent.
Yeah,
you know, like I feel like a different person. I if I'm doing a different accent, I feel like I become a different person when I do that accent. Because I have to...
That's interesting.
It's like acting. I have to inhabit a different sort of personality, right? So,
well, I could see it when you're doing your Irish accent, that your head was moving in like this way that I wouldn't... Like, you don't normally move it. That's interesting, yeah.
And I've got this thing, right? I like playing around with accents so much that I've started to work out that there's a cool thing you could do to create characters, right? Like a character or interesting voice. What you do is you take an accent and you combine it with some sort of speech impediment, right? And the result is that you get an interesting character out of it, right?
Okay.
So
can you have an example?
Can you do like a Scouser with a lisp?
A Scouser with a lisp?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, a lisp is basically lisp when you thought you speak like this.
Basically Spanish.
So, right. Someone like, Jamie Oliver's got a little bit of a lisp.
A little bit of a lisp, yeah.
Little bit.
I can't do a lisp even. It's been a while since I've imitated. I can't do it.
Synth.
I was almost getting into Ali. Excuse me, boss, yeah? a scouser with a lisp. Wow, that would be something like, you're right, mate.
You're right, mate. Don't have it going,
you're right. Just sitting here drinking a beer. I can't do it. Not even. Wow, see, that's interesting.
That's what I enjoy about accents, is that it's not just the accent, but if you find one person, like if you imagine one character and embody that character, then you're into a more interesting area, because that's acting, and that's somehow like a character comedy, you know.
Yeah.
Like a scouser with a lisp, you know, he's got a personality, hasn't he? You know what I mean? Suddenly he's not just he's not just your average scouser. He's a different guy. You know what I mean?
That's good. Yeah. I think I started doing that. Potentially, the first impression I ever did was a guy called Dennis Murray, who was a BBC reporter who did the Belfast stuff. And it was during the time when the stuff was kicking off in Ireland. And so there'd be lots of news reports on the BBC.
Yeah.
And at the end of his phrase or whatever he was saying, he'd always go, blah, 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 Dennis Murray, BBC News, Belfast.
Yeah.
And that was my my mum went crazy over this, and I guess that with the addition of her, probably my best accent is Northern Irish, and then I can do bits of most of England, I think, depending, and a bit of Australian and a bit of whatever. Like, I can do foreigners speaking, Spanish people or French people speaking English.
Is that a Spanish guy speaking English?
Yes, hello, my name is Jose Maria. I am from Spain. Uh-huh. I have 28 years old, and I have a very good Kronenburg, drinking the beer here in the apartment of Luke. It's very is very enriching experience for me. It's very good. I am from Madrid. It's very good.
Do you like music, Jose?
Yes, I very much like music.
which artists do you like?
I like más como se dice.
Do you like the Police? Do you like the Police?
La Policia.
Yeah.
Who is la Police?
Police. They're a group from the '80s. Who was the singer in the Police? What was his name? Yeah.
Sting. Sting. Yeah. Sting. Yes. The Spanish put E before the S.
Yeah.
If there is a consonant after the S.
Yeah.
For example, if you say I am from Spain, you say I am from Spain. I like to eat spaghetti. It's difficult. Yeah. It's difficult for us to say just spaghetti. Is difficult.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What about a French guy?
Hello, my name is Jean-François. I am from Paris. 38 years old. I have two children. I am sitting drinking a Kronenbourg ici in the apartment of the beautiful Luke Thompson. It is interesting.
Thanks very much. Any others? Can you introduce us to any other people that you've met?
I have my best friend. He is from
friend.
My best friend is from where is he from? I forget where he's from. I think he is from South Africa, from Cape Town. His name is Joel. Uh-huh. Joel, come here. I have a question for you, Joel. Hello there. My name is Joel. I'm from Cape Town in South Africa. I'm sitting here drinking Kronenbourg with my best friend here, Luke, in his apartment in Paris, which overlooks the Eiffel Tower. It's pretty spectacular.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Is there anyone here from Australia today?
Oh, g'day, mate. How you going? My name's Tim. I'm from Australia.
G'day, Tim. Come over, mate. Come over.
Yeah, I'm from Sydney, Australia. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, mate. Beautiful. Yeah. The beer is much. You guys have this thing like over here where you have Foster's, and like Foster's is like an Australian beer.
Yeah,
it's not fucking Australian, mate. It's we have like Cooper's Isle, fucking loads of stuff.
Yeah.
Foster's is pure British.
I met this guy who was at this party from London. Some fucking Cockney guy.
What, mate? How's it going? Do you know what I mean? I'm from fucking London, you slag.
What are you doing here in my apartment?
Mate, basically, yeah, I was walking down the street, yeah, came by, and I thought, wow, this is a proper wicked apartment. So I thought I'd come up, yeah, thought I'd come up and drink a beer with my mate.
Yeah? Well, it's good to have you here. There's some bloke here from Manchester as well, I think.
You all right, love?
All right, how's it going?
It's going well, man. Can't really do a Manchester Do you know what I mean? All I can think of is nothing.
I could do a Manchester accent.
Go.
But my fucking Manchester accent, you know what I mean? It's like that.
It's like the Gallagher brothers.
Yeah, it's like that, because like...
From Oasis and your head's moving.
Yeah, like, to be honest, like, if I'm going to do sort of like... If I'm going to be from Manchester like that, then...
My God. You sound exactly like Liam Gallagher. That is so awesome.
I think it's more like Noel Gallagher. You know, I'm more like Noel Gallagher, you know what I mean?
Liam, whatever. You guys are British. I love you guys. You're so cute.
You know, like, it's nice that you say that and that, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't really give a shit, because basically, you know, like, fucking Oasis, you know what I mean? Like, the best band in the fucking world, man.
Yeah, but you guys, like, broke up, man. The hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, it's all right, you know? Like, doesn't matter, really, because we're still, like... fucking records are still out there, man. Records are still out there, you know what I mean? You can still go out and buy the... records, you know what I mean? Like, just next question, man. What's your next question?
I have a question from my name is Thierry. I am from south of France. I have a question about the band and why you break up, why you have the breaking.
Well, you know what I mean, man? Like, we've been going for like what, seven or eight odd years and that. Like, what more can you do, man, when you've done like fucking best music in the world? You know what I mean? What more can you fucking do? It's like the Beatles, man. You know, 10 years of absolutely amazing music, and at the end of it, like, that's it. So, see you later.
Mm.
Right, see you later, man. You've got the records are there if you want to listen to it. But if you don't want to listen to it, that's fine. You know, like,
you think you have a...
Like, it's not over, man. It's not over. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not. It's not the end of the world, man. It's just music. It's just a band, isn't it? At the end of the day.
Oh my.
Yes. Okay. Well, it's been an absolute joy and a pleasure.
It has been awfully, awfully wonderful being on Luke's English podcast.
And I think that everyone out there listening to the programme has no doubt picked up all manner of interesting phrases and parts of speech, which they will then be able to go out and use in order to, I suppose, interact in some manner.
Bollocks!
So that's the end of the podcast. It was great to have you here, Paul.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me over. It's been fun.
It has, hasn't it? Yeah. All right. Well, Merry Christmas.
A Merry Christmas to you too, and a Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, and I'll catch up with you again soon.
Yes.
Thanks very much for listening to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. More episodes will be uploaded in the future. But for now, it's goodbye, bye, bye, bye. Thanks again for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, you can visit teacherluke.wordpress.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.